General Motors on Safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. Bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on Safari.
My story tonight is unusual, for there is no hunt. There are no savage beasts defying the guns of the hunters. I want to tell you about a man I knew once, a man who owned a six-year-old Arab Basutu stallion with a blaze in the snip, who stood 13 hands. It was the handsomest little horse I've ever seen. But, to be honest, I'd rather have faced a lion any day than have been Peter Markham in the stable with that horse after he'd threshed it. But I'll begin at the beginning. I suppose this is the story of the horse, but it is also the story of a girl called Joan, too, and of her mother. Joan French was 15, and she and her mother were neighbours of Peter Markham. Peter brought the horse up from Basutoland, and the first thing he did was to ride over to the French's place, for the girl was horsemaid, you see, and this provided Peter with a fair enough excuse to see her mother, Muriel. It all happened some years back now, but Peter remembers every detail as clearly as if it occurred yesterday. This is the story of these people, and of a horse called Crusader. If Joan French had a passion in life, it was horses. She was a leggy girl, all legs and big light brown eyes. The day was bright when Markham rode over to see his neighbours. There had been early morning rain, and the earth felt good. It was the sort of day that makes a man want to get down to digging, or ploughing, or courting.
Hi, John.
Oh, Mr. Markham. Where'd you get him?
Who?
Him.
Oh, up from the Sutherland.
Oh. Oh.
Don't just stand there, Owen. Tell your mother I'm here. I need coffee badly.
Well, what are you doing?
Tying him up.
What for?
Oh, John, don't go near him. He's not ready yet. Stay away.
Oh, but he's beautiful.
He's beautiful, all right, but he's wild.
Can I ride him?
Soon.
How soon?
Peter, I thought it was you. Come on over. I've got some coffee.
Right with you. You coming, Joan?
What's his name?
Crusader. You coming?
Oh, it's a lovely name. He really does look like a crusader. I'll stay here and watch him, Mr. Markham.
Okay, but don't forget what I told you. He's taboo for the time being. I'll tell you when he's ready.
Come on, Peter.
All right.
It was love at first sight, really. It made Peter Markham smile. But it wasn't so funny as things turned out. The odd thing was, though, the girl's love seemed to be reciprocated. The horse, that first day, stared back at her and tossed its head. His nostrils flared as he blew air out of them, the way stallions do. And then, suddenly, as though he'd got wind of her, as though her scent told him something, he quietened, and the fire went out of his eye. The horse and the girl met on the felt, and something happened between them. Markham was pleased. He began to ride over every day or so to see Muriel French.
I don't know what to do with Joan, Peter. I really don't. She's horse mad.
Oh, it might be worse. She could be boy mad or crazy to go on the stage or something. Horses never hurt anyone yet, except when they bet on them.
Well, you're very good to her. Will you really let her ride Crusader when he's ready?
When he's ready. I don't know how long it'll be, though. He walks like a dancer, you know, like a cat on hot bricks. When I look over his shoulder, I can watch his white hoofs come down. They hardly seem to touch the ground before he picks them up again. I think he's the most superbly trained horse I've ever ridden.
Well, why all the delay in letting Joan have him to ride?
Well, there's something I still don't like about him. I know what it is. There's just something that's not right yet.
Peter, you don't have to have an excuse to come over here, you know. I owe a lot to you. Your boys are my main market for mealy meal. And, well, I need you awfully when that stupid mill breaks down. Peter, don't...
Fine thing for a man to be needed only when a blasted mill won't work.
We're on dangerous ground again, Pete. Please, no. Wait.
Muriel, Jack was killed a long time before I came
no,
here.
No, Pete, please. I told you.
Okay, all right. All right, you can ride Crusader tomorrow, but one day I'm going to pester you again, you know that. Being a widow doesn't suit you.
One day. Let's go and tell Joan.
Jack French had been killed by a lion in Bechuanaland, and Muriel had carried on the farm after his death. Relations between Peter Markham and the widow were pretty close, but still had not reached the point of closeness Peter desired. He told me afterwards that had he never bought Crusader, he might never have married the mother of the 15-year-old girl he trained to ride the horse. If, funny word if, one can trace a whole sequence of events back to the one that sparked off the final result. It was Crusader's bad temper that night, the night before he promised Joan her first ride, that started Peter thinking.
Okay, hold him, Sixpence, hold him.
Yes, Bowser.
Watch him, give me the chambot, quick.
Yes, Bowser.
You're going to make a monkey out of me, chum.
Don't eat him, Master, let me.
Oh, shut up. That's the business, Sixpence, will you? Oh, no, you don't, boy.
Master!
I'm coming out. Okay, put the bath on. Watch it, he's coming. What a beast, you swine. Come on, Sixpence, come on.
Why did you hit him, Mr. Markham?
Why? Well, because he'd been playing up all day, that's why. I had him going beautifully out there on the felt. Got off and then he bit me. For no reason at all, he bit me. And tonight he started again and I've had enough. I know what you're thinking. All right, I shouldn't have thrashed him. I know. It was inexcusable, but there it is. Now, stop looking at me like that, Sixpence. I'm going in. Bring your drink, will you?
Yes, Master.
The next day, Markham received a letter from Bill Saunders in Bechuanaland asking if he'd heard of a small chestnut stallion, a man-killer.
How can you be sure it's Crusader, Peter? There must be a thousand stallions like him around.
Oh, it's Crusader, all right. Last night I started to think, and when I remembered who I got him from, it was easy to put two and two together.
Well, what do you mean?
Long time ago, I did a deal with a fellow who sold me this horse. We had a row. I can't even remember what it was about now, but he reckoned I'd done him out of a job or something. I guess I do remember. He'd been mining and accused me of sending in a bad report to the company about him. Well, the thing blew over, and I've often bought horses from him. I thought he'd forgotten, but he obviously hasn't. That's why I sold me Crusader. He's hoping the darn thing will kill me. Well, it won't. It won't get the chance.
What do you mean?
I'm going to shoot him.
Oh, Peter, no.
I've got to. But twice last night he charged me. Had his mouth open, raised his forelegs to try and chop me. He suffered a great indignity, Muriel. He's been beaten by a man, and that he won't forgive. I'm afraid of him now, and he knows it. So I'm going to put a bullet through him.
Oh, but Peter, someone else might be able to do something with him.
Oh, you're not thinking of...
Oh, I don't mean Joan. I mean, it's so awful to have to kill him. Can't you sell or give him away and see if he can't be broken by someone else, someone fresh?
Oh, no, it's too risky. What if he walloped somebody else? I'd be to blame.
Are you sure you're not just getting rid of him because he's beaten you? Sure you're not afraid someone else might tame him and make you feel a fool?
That's a lousy thing to say.
No, it isn't. I understand how you must feel about it. No man likes
Now, look here, please.
You're going red in the face, Pete.
You can't!
Oh, can't what?
You can't kill him, you mustn't!
Well, how did you know? I didn't even tell Sixpence.
You can't kill him and you shan't either.
He's dangerous.
Only because you hit him.
But he's killed two men and I'm going
to
shoot him.
You're not going to shoot Crusader. He's the most beautiful horse in the world.
Joan, a horse is not good if it's a killer, even if it is beautiful.
Oh, you're so stupid.
Joan.
He is. A horse needs love. You had no right to beat him. I wish he'd killed you.
Now, that's enough, Joan. Sit down and have some coffee.
Oh, get your coffee!
Oh! Oh! Joan! Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, was it very hot?
No, I'm just half scalded to death, that's all.
Oh, I put something on it. I don't know whatever possessed her to... Peter, you didn't bring Crusader.
No, that's not Crusader.
It's Joan on our horse. Peter, what's she doing?
She's going to my place, that's what she's doing.
Joan French arrived at Peter Markham's, and without waiting to tether her own horse, rushed straight to the stables. Crusader was screaming with excitement as he saw her. When she got him outside, instead of galloping off, he stood. With a flying jump, she was across his back, her left hand on his mane. She wriggled forward and got her right leg over him. Then she slapped him with her open hand, and they were off. They tore across the veldt. Her yellow hair flew behind her, all mixed up with Crusader's mane as she leaned over his neck.
Sixpence, did you take Crusader?
She take the mad horse and go like the wind, master.
You better stay here, Muriel.
No, I'll come with you if you're going after her.
No, I'll drive like a blazes. You stay here.
Peter, she's my daughter. Oh, please don't let her do anything silly. She might break her neck. Where is she?
She can't be far. Even Crusader can't go this fast.
Peter, she's going up there. Look, she's leading them up the side of the escarpment. We can't follow her up there.
I have to go on foot. This thing won't climb that ascent.
Well, that's obviously why she's done it. Another minute and we'd have missed her.
I'll try and head her off before she gets mounted again.
As the girl mounted the horse, a big ringmole slithered from the bush right under Crusader's forelegs. The horse shied. The girl was thrown from its back. Crusader galloped forward into the long grass and stood there trembling. The girl lay still, a long cut along her temple, the blood soaking the yellow hair. The ringmole was still. Just then Joan moved, and the snake came slowly forward. 11 feet away, Crusader stood in the grass, motionless, except for the violent trembling that passed like currents of electricity along the length of his back and chest. The ringhouse was 5 feet in length. It moved forward slowly, almost inquisitively, until it was a few paces from the girl. At that moment, she opened her eyes. The snake raised itself, the hood expanded, and at that moment, Crusader struck. Those hooves were like steel. Ringal's head was crushed in the first onslaught. Still the tail lashed furiously. Again and again the hooves fell upon the reptile until there was nothing left of the creature but a strip of split skin. It looked like cardboard or skin placed in the sun to be cured and dried. Joan French lay huddled upon the rocks like a child asleep, her knees tucked under her chin, her hands bound tightly around her knees. She did not move. Her eyes were big and bright and frightened. Crusader stood blowing and snorting, as if at a loss for what to do now that danger had passed. The head with the white blaze came down to Joan's face, and great liquid eyes looked into her eyes, and then he nuzzled the girl and snorted and passed his wet nostrils over the hair where the blood was. There they were, the girl and the horse called Crusader. They were still like that when Muriel French and Peter Markham arrived. That's how it happened. That's how Joan French came to own the 6-year-old chestnut Arab Basutu stallion with the blaze and snip, who stood 13 hands. But that isn't the end of it. No, there were other things to be done before Crusader was finished. There were other deeds for history to record. Lots of horses kill snakes.
What are you thinking about, Peter?
That I'd like another cup of tea, I suppose.
Oh, that you were not.
Well, you asked for it. I was thinking what a truly lovely woman you are.
Thank you.
What's that, what is it? That liqueur. It's golden and brown. Has specks of gold leaf floating in it. I can't remember what it's called. I've had it somewhere.
Yes?
Well, your eyes, they're just like that liqueur. Now, don't laugh at me.
I'm not laughing at you, Pete. You're so very sweet.
Well, here's a fine mess. Muriel's kid has stolen my man-killer horse. Joan's mother, Muriel, laughing at
not
me.
Not at you. I said...
All right. Have it your own way. Laughing, then. I lost a horse, nearly killed your daughter, and now... what the devil was this leading up to? I did start to say something, you know.
I think we can let her keep Crusader, don't you?
I reckon. He still won't let me anywhere near him, of course. I've had it for good and all, as far as that lump of horse flesh is concerned.
Oh, don't let Joan hear you talk like that. She's very particular where Crusader's concerned. You were right that first day. It was love at first sight, and I think it's going to endure, too. She'd sleep out there in the stable, if I'd let her, you know. think someone's going to come and take the thing away. Sometimes I don't know whether it's good for her or not. She got up in the middle of the night one night last week, and she shouted out that something was wrong with Crusader. I had to go and fetch her in after half an hour. Well, you know how darn cold it gets this time of the year at night. Anyway, I brought her in, and she was trembling all over, and then she was sick. I was a bit worried because she still had the bandages on her head from the fall.
Oh, I think she's safe enough with Crusader. I think his killing days are over now, unless I get anywhere near him, of course. She was very upset that first day I let her see me ride him. She was very white and a bit trembly. Mm. If she'd been a man, I'd have said, come and have a drink, but she was only a girl, so I just took her by the hand and said, nice, isn't it? You know, at one time it was hard to make you laugh.
Oh, well, I've got to, Pete. The horrible thing is I sometimes think I'm forgetting Jack. No, really, I lie down at night. Something makes me try to remember what he looked like. And you know, it's difficult.
That's what nature's for.
What do you mean?
Pain. We can't spend too long in pain. Something's got to happen. We go mad, or slowly we begin to forget. Well, not completely, no, but little by little, until everything's bearable again and life is good again. It's the only way. The same with physical pain. After the first slash and bite, a water bug doesn't feel the beast that kills it. There's a sort of numbness that sets in. Otherwise, it'd be too cruel. You know, when Livingstone was nearly killed by a lion, he said he felt after a while something like peace.
And Jack...
Wouldn't have felt much after the very beginning.
Perhaps you're right. But I feel sometimes as if I'm letting Jack down. The other day I had to close my eyes for ages before I could remember what he looked like. It was horrible.
Is that why you won't marry me?
I will marry you, Pete.
What did you say?
Well, don't look so startled. I said I will marry you. I promise, if that's what you want. When you ask me. I just want you to wait a bit longer before you ask. That's all.
Until he's gone completely.
Oh, no. No. Not until he's gone. He's still a bit too strong yet. I can't ever forget.
I'm not asking that.
I know. But please be patient with me. You'll know when. I promise.
The next few weeks were spent in work and going to see Muriel, and Joan riding Crusader over to Peter Markham's place. The girl had forgiven the man for wanting to shoot her horse. I say her horse because Crusader had always been Joan's horse. She still wouldn't let him get within 10 yards of him, though. Once he tried, but Joan had asked him to keep away, saying he was a one-man horse and that was that. There was something odd about the relationship between the child and the stallion. He was a very small horse, and Joan was a long-legged, active girl. But even taking these facts into consideration, it was extraordinary the way he would let her mount and ride him, bareback without even a rein in his mouth. She would guide him by leaning forward, covering his eye with her hand, the near eye if she wanted him to turn to the offside, and vice versa. She'd talk to him all the time, whether she was on his back or not, and he seemed almost to answer. Muriel was very pleased about it because she said he was better than a dog for protection. And then it happened, suddenly, the way things do happen. On the mine Markham worked, 2 miles from the Finch's home, lived a couple of 100 boys. Mishoners they were. There had never been any trouble before.
Master! What the devil? Master!
John! What the devil do you want?
Master!
All right, I'm coming. What the devil do you want, John? Where's your own blasted key? Where the heck's sixpence?
Master, the Mishoners are up. They're killing the white people.
Oh, Bailey, where's Bailey?
He's dead, boss. His house is burned.
Well, come inside. We'll need guns. Where are they now?
They've gone to the big house.
What? Muriel. What boys have they got who will fight?
Sixpence. He's saddling the horses for us.
For us?
Yeah, boss. I knew the boss would ride with the missus, and Sixpence and me ride with him.
Yeah.
Boss, can we have guns?
Can you use them?
Yeah, boss, we can use them.
How Peter Markham's boys had learned to use guns, he never found out. It was illegal to arm natives, but that night was not the time to worry about the letter of the law. They were soon mounted, a little commando, the Boers would have called it, and galloping towards the French home. The night was a dark one. There was no moon. The trees and the clumps of thorn were like ghosts and devils, and snakes standing on their tails on all sides of them as they rode. Then they saw the fires, and Markham prayed it was only the outbuildings. They heard the rifle fire and knew that the white women had not been caught unaware.
Cover me, John! I'm not taking the horse!
Yeah, Glass!
Mother! Mother, they've got rifles! They've got guns from somewhere!
Well, keep firing. It may be white people. They must come soon.
Henry and Will are still around the other side of the house.
Oh, thank goodness we've got good boys.
Again. Oh, Mother!
What is it? Are you hurt?
Crusader, he'll be burned! Crusader! Crusader!
Joan! Get down!
Crusader!
We'll charge him now, John! Now! Come on! Now again, John! We're talking about the back of the house!
Peter Markham ran round to the back stoop of the big house. As he rounded the corner near the blazing dairy, a Mishono rose out of the bushes. He raised his assegai. Markham fired and missed. The assegai passed within a few inches of Markham, and the two men met head on.
That's the end of you, chum. Will! Will!
Peter!
Where's Joan?
She's gone round the other side.
Oh, why?
I don't know. She's gone to get Crusader, I think.
Oh, that horse again. Quick, this way, come on.
But Joan!
Oh, you're going to get her. Get round the side there. John and the other boys are there.
Peter, where is she?
I'm going to go and get her.
Look! Crusader!
The dairy was alight, but he must have kicked down the door. The red horse in the red light of the fire, his mane and tail flowing, was into the Mishonas like a great dog, kicking, savaging with his forelegs, biting and screaming as he cleared the road to the house. He was making no effort to bolt, but was literally attacking the Mishonas who were running from him as if he were the devil himself, which is what he looked like. As he got to the front stoop, Joan ran out.
Mother! Mother, come on!
Run, Muriel! I'll follow! Run!
The girl held Crusader's forelock, and her mother ran to them and mounted. Joan jumped up behind her. Crusader wheeled as he reared. They almost fell. Markham fired a final volley at the few Mishonas that were left and followed the women on the red horse into the coming dawn. This is the story of Crusader. Explain it if you can. Peter Markham couldn't, nor could Muriel. Muriel Markham she is now. Joan is a big girl who promises to be as pretty as her mother. Crusader is an old horse, and the father of most of the good chestnut horses with a white blaze in that part of the world. Good night.
Join us again next week for another story of the African Bushveld. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.